Tonight is not a warning, particularly. Verse 11. Now all these things happened unto them for examples. That's the old English spelling. In samples or examples. And they were written for our admonition. An admonition means somewhat like a warning. Or, you know, you're driving down the road and you see a yield sign. What's a yield sign mean? Go faster. Please. Yes, cut people off. They are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world or the age are come. All right. So, friends, let me just say this. If you can read the Old Testament and walk away the same as you were when you read, you ain't reading it. Is that clear enough? Look at me, folks. Hey, did you hear me? If you can read the Bible and never, ever be convicted, really? What are you reading? What are you doing? My goodness. Tonight's text will be exceptionally simple and exceptionally pointed. Yes, let's stand. You can read in your Bible or in your notes. I don't care. Just two verses. These are some of David's mighty men. For you that are interested, chapter 23 of Samuel talks about them. The funny thing is, it says there's 30, but there's like 37 there. I'm going to guess some of them might have died somewhere along the line. One of them is the, you know, I don't know if it's here or it's in the Chronicles. One of my favorite guys that David has killed, Uriah the Hittite. One of them is the backslidden, backstabbing guy named Joab. There's all kinds of people. This is a simple guy. We know very little about him except this text. But I love this text. And yes, I do. And after him was Eleazar, the son of, you can't make that one up, the son of Dodo. Can I ask my Pinoy, does that make you laugh or Dodo doesn't mean anything to you? That is a very English American joke. A dodo bird, you're like a dodo. You're dumb. You're stupid. You dodo. We used to say that as a kid. That's just the apex of putting a friend down. You're a dodo. Okay. Maybe you were polite. My wife and Mrs. Hall have never heard that because they're nice people. Mike Hall probably grew up on this language. All right. Eleazar, the son of Dodo, the Elohite, Ehud. Forget that last. That's even worse than Dodo. One of the three mighty men with David, when they defied the Philistines that were gathered together to battle, and the men of Israel, strangely, were gone away. He arose and smote the Philistines until his hand was weary, and his hand clave unto the sword. Anybody that's done any physical work knows exactly what that means. When you get, you've worked so long, you can't, you, I have had every man's done it where you have to like open your hand. You got to peel your hand back. You've worked, held things so long. Yes, he smote the Philistines until his hand was weary and his hand clave unto the sword. And the Lord wrought a great victory that day. That's a beautiful phrase. That's the only phrase we won't do tonight for time. And the people returned after him only to do what? And what's the spoil? Do you remember last week? You come back and clean up the battlefield and get all the stuff that's good. Mm-hmm. That's the only thing that the other people did. All right. Eleazar, the son of Dodo. Let's pray, please. Father, thank you for this time. I ask your blessings on this time, and may this be a helpful. Lord, it's all over the place because it's a story. It's a summation of a man's day. It's not meant to be comforting or encouraging alone. It's meant to be what it is. Help us to hear simple things taught in this text. I ask in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Soon, one of my favorite parts of the year will happen. Jim, this is a relationship to you indirectly now. By the way, it's not Awana. It's not even the Awana Awards, though those are wonderful. I love to see the kids happy. I get pictures every Wednesday night just about from my frenemy. You know who my frenemy is, Linda. She sends pictures, and daughter, you're in charge of those crazy kids. all I can say is God bless you. She'll send pictures of them playing. She'll send pictures of, and I don't know how you do it, but sometimes they actually look like they're paying attention. I don't know how that happens. You know what my favorite time of the year is with Awana, and it's one of my favorite times in the church service. It's what happens at the very end of the Awana year when the people who have served are honored for how long they have served. That's a very moving thing to me. I mean, kids are wonderful, and I enjoy that. I enjoy the faithfulness of people. And they'll start out with, you know, people that just started, then they go to 5 years, 10 years, 15 years. And there's people in our church that's been doing Awana forever. Rhonda, how many years did your mother do Awana? 30 plus? 32 or 33? That's absolutely beautiful. Can I say this to you? Don't anybody do your religion. Is Lois Mandeville, was she ever the prime person in this church? She was a mighty man. She was a person that found her slot and served the Lord. And that's what we all do. Can I say that? Or we don't. It's really that simple. And I love that night because, yeah, I like to see the kids and I like to see some of them melt down and I like to see the awards and the craziness, but I love to see people honored for faithfulness. Happens every spring, and I like it. That's what we have in this text. When I read this text recently, and I've been avoiding this passage for the last year intentionally, just so you know, because there's so much richness here, and I don't want to preach on just the mighty men of David. When I was reading this, some thoughts stuck in my head. So if you look in your notes, the first thing that becomes obvious, and I'll let you fill in some of the blanks as we move forward, the first thing that's obvious and so important for us to learn is Eliezer fought alone. Or I could say it in a negative way. He fought when others refused to fight. We don't know exactly what happened. Just read the highlighted portions. We only know this. They're fighting the Philistines, and the men of Israel, I think that means the military, were gone away for whatever reason. And here is Eliezer, the son of... He's all alone. What's he do? He arose. He smote the Philistines. Eliezer fought alone. In your notes, I say this. Much of what we all do is alone. Somehow, all of us have to get over who's looking, who knows, who's patting us on the back. Most of what you do is done alone. Period. Sometimes I chase a rabbit down in preaching, and I never say it, I never mention it, it never comes out, and I thought, I spent hours wrestling with something, but it just never had the time. By the way, you do what you do alone. Do you get that? I like to go around to the teachers. Some of the teachers like me to come, some of them don't. Carly, I'm shocked, Carly, young teacher, can control it. Now, some of the teachers struggle. When I come in, the kids go wild. Carly can usually get, do you do weird stuff? What do you do? You have like these little techniques, but they quiet right up. It's beautiful. By the way, Carly, you teach first grade all alone. Yeah, people love you. Yes, people are here for you. Yes, you can have help, but you know what? When it comes down to it, your preparation is on you. Emily, you're right in front. You're the second. It's the same. I think some of us struggle with being alone. Now, I like to work with people. Now, I would much rather work alone than work with anybody. You say, why? It's just easier. But I want to say this. Some of us like people to encourage us, and sometimes the people aren't there. I have this in your notes. And by the way, this is just introduction. I hope it's helpful to you. It's God and me and my battle. Does that make sense to you? Or may I say it, better way than saying this, I wrote this down after I printed the notes up. It's God in me and my part of the battle. That's a better way of saying it. When I came here this morning, not only was all this done from a lot of people, but you all noticed when you come here on Sundays, these chairs are up. You say, that just goes, somebody just puffs them up. I looked out here and the grass has been cut. You know, we ordered many years ago self-cutting grass. Cuts itself. By the way, everybody has a part. And you normally do that somewhat alone. Now, here's the tough part. with plenty of time for self-pity. I'm the only one. If I wasn't here, the ship would go down. If I wasn't here, everything falls apart. I'm the only one. Oh boy, you're going to be in trouble, and it's going to bleed into the rest of this sermon and text. We all have plenty of time for self-pity. Nobody cares. Nobody's listening. Nobody was there. Okay, how about this? Or, same statement, or, I'm the only one. Who said that in the Bible? Elijah. Let me ask you a question. How did it go for Elijah after that? God was done with him after that, folks. The moment you think you're the only person in the whole world that's, you know, if I wasn't there, I'm not going to say anything negative about that. I'm just saying we all struggle with this very thing. I would even go beyond that and say this. It's not really that we're the only one, but that others are in other places. Is that fair? Other people are doing other things. By the way, folks, I can come up here and I can go into my Bible class and think, oh my goodness, I'm going to change the world with kids. But if those kids are hungry and there's not my wife or Leticia down in the cafeteria, you understand? I mean, there's 1,000 people doing little things here and there, and their part in the battle. I think it's beautiful. Well, I'm going to tell a story real quick, real quick. When I was assistant pastor, there was not this young lady here. Nice, sweet young lady, not like her father at all. Or this young lady over here, or anybody else playing the organ. There was an old woman playing the organ, 80s, not very healthy. And I'm not going to give any names because I don't remember her name. You might remember her name. The pastor hated her guts. And he told it regularly. He just hated her. I don't know why he hated her. I found her to be fine. But she was an old woman. I think it was because she didn't get excited, and that's fine. But she was an old woman in the process, frankly, of very old age and death, I'm assuming. We had a young lady in our church. Jenny, was she 20, maybe 22? I don't know her age. It's been 40 plus years. This young lady had some kind of a neurological disease and was in the process. They knew she was in the slow process of dying. It was like the lights were being dimmed gradually. And it got to the place in the short time we were there where she was on breathing machines. She couldn't breathe for herself. The neurological factors had just gone. So she's in the hospital. She's totally awake. She's healthy, except the system's not functioning. And I remember he went to visit. The pastor went to visit. Now, some of you are going to say, yeah, that's you, Pastor Warren. By the way, you aren't really listening. He went to visit, and he had to take pictures and show everybody on Sunday what he did. We went to visit her, too, didn't we? Do you know what we found? Do you remember what we found in her room? That old woman was sending her cards like a couple of weeks. That old woman that the pastor hated her guts. By the way, look at me. Everybody has a role to play. Your job, look at me, is to play your role. Get over your ego. Get over doing it alone. Get over thinking you're the sinner. And just play your role. Just that simple. Well, it was an embarrassment when I went there and saw all those cards. I hope I never forget that story. Because here was, by the way, the lady couldn't do a lot of things, but she could write a card, write a little note. Yes. Number two, I'm not going to give you the points yet. You're going to fill those in. It says in 2 Samuel 23:9 this, and after him was Eleazar, the son of Dodo, the Oahite, one of the three mighty men with David when they defied the Philistines. So we know David, Eleazar, and some others defied the Philistines to fight, that were gathered together to battle, and all the men of Israel, for unknown reasons, had gone away. And then it says, he arose and he smote the Philistines. Number two, Eleazar fought the Philistines, not the Israelites. I said something's going to be pointed tonight. Did I say that to anybody? Did anybody hear me? I want everyone to look at me up here. I am so tired of people in my ministry for 40 years that don't know who the enemies are. But it's not this church, it's every church. If I talk to 50, if I brought all of my friends here, every one of them has one or two people they think my job is to fight God's people. By the way, he fought the Philistines. But here's the point that you don't get. It's an intellectual problem, it's a heart problem, and it's a logic problem. If you don't get number one right, it's going to slide right into number two. If you can't realize, I have a job to do, whatever my job is, let me do my job to God's glory and for my best that I have to offer, let other people serve, then it slides into number two. And the next thing you know, you got it backwards. You're fighting who? The Israelites. Where are they at? Why aren't they here? What's wrong with people? The problem is you. Why are you thinking about that? You got the job to do. He just arose and he fought the people he was supposed to fight. Seems obvious. Number one is going to slide very quickly into number two. If you have any of these kinds of attitudes in your notes, I'm the only one. Or I could translate that, I'm the only family. Please. I always like when people know things. By the way, people knew things when Tim was administrator. And by the way, and they didn't know. Is that correct? They knew nothing, but they talked. They said the same with Amy. After a point, it's like, are we just a bunch of stumbling fools? And the answer is, yes, we pick up little tidbits and therefore we know stuff. We don't know anything. I'm the only one. What's wrong with them? That's you start at. By the way, the moment you don't get number one right, that God has something for you to do, and most of the time, not all the time, most of the time, you're going to have to do it alone. That's the way it works. Now, for some people, that comes easy. For other people, they're always, what about? What about? What about? And it's like, quit the what abouts. Let's continue the questions. Where are they? Why aren't they here? Now, friends, I'm going to ask a question. Who are our enemies? What do we say? Three of them. World? Is that correct? Who's not included? Other Christians. Then why are you fighting other Christians? Or why do you allow people to do that? You say, you're being very pointed. Actually, it's just a text. Here you are. Here is, if Eliezer had had any of this filthy mindset, then I'm the only one. Where'd everybody go? By the way, the Philistines would have never been fought. He would have gone back chasing the Israelites, trying to fight them. But once you understand, here I am. This is my place. This is my sword. These are my enemies. This is my part of the battle. Do my part of the battle. Let other people do theirs. Now, by the way, in an organization like ours, we have lots of good people doing lots of good things. And I'm very thankful. I couldn't do any of it. I'm not picking on Carly. Carly, the kids will not listen to me. They like me because they want chocolate. And Emily, you know this too. I love them, but actually they don't come to me because they want to give me a hug. They want to just, they're like I was at that age. If the teacher gave me 1 second, I was causing trouble. Now, there are people in this room that never cause trouble. I wasn't that student. Oh, who is not included? Christians. I'm going to say this a little bit later. I'll say it now. If you're always fighting Christians, whose side are you on? He that saith, notice the language. Lots of people do lots of doc, 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 talking. He that saith, he is in the light, and hateth his brother is in darkness even until now. He that loveth his brother abideth in the light, and there is none occasion of stumbling in him. He that hateth his brother is in darkness, walketh in darkness, and knoweth not whither he goeth, because that darkness hath blinded his eyes. 1 John 3:10, one of the hardest texts in the Bible. In this the children of God are manifest. This is how you know somebody's a believer. And by the way, here's how you know somebody's an unbeliever. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God, and he that loveth neither is he that loveth not his brother. seems to be simple. Skip James for time. Question. I had this question about several people through the years. I make it very generic. Why does she or he hate me and us and love people who hate us? Please look me in the eyes. Everybody, I have the question. I want you to answer the question. Why does a person hate us and love everybody that hates us? And I've had them over and over and over. It's the hardest question I deal with. You know, most Christians are on each other's side, more or less. We're not all have to be best buddies. We all don't have to go out together. But in general, I'm on your side. I expect you to be on other Christian side. But there's some people that they're always against. Usually it's Pastor Warren, because the church doesn't exist. It's me. But by the way, everybody look at me. I know the garbage that was said about Don Tice. What I learned was I'm very different than Don Tice, which none of you even know. You're looking like Don who? It's like four people here who even know who he was. Five, maybe. I have an issue with Don Tice. Look at me. It wasn't Don Tice. Any pastor that speaks the truth, people are not going to like. And they're going to have other things. Now, I have some thinking about that, but I want to read what I wrote. It's not in your notes. I want to read it one more time. Why does this individual love everyone who hates us and hates everyone who loves us? That is the weirdest thing I've ever come across as a pastor. It's the thing, by the way, this young man over here asked me, and not this particular question, but connected with this idea, are they unsaved? Here's my problem. I don't know. But there are people that spend a lifetime hating the people they're supposed to love. You need to take it up, by the way. And if you're here like that, you need to take it up with God. Don't take it up with, you know, your little pity party and don't go be in a mesh with your friends. Take it up with God. These are my suggestions. Just suggestions, by the way. Who fights believers? Well, the unbelievers or the unsaved do. That's one group that fights believers on a pretty regular basis. You'll have that. And by the way, if you throw in religious unbelievers, oh my goodness. I've had people that hate my guts with a passion. Not so much in the church, not usually as much, but people not part of this. You know, they bring their kids here. Look at me, everybody. And they find out we're against their drunkenness. So the man, I can't say enough because I can't give anything away here. The man that was well-known drunkard and was well-known for hitting on teenage girls, connected to, I'll say this generically, law enforcement, he didn't like me. Shocking! That's not the point. Why did other people like him and his wife? Because they asked those people to come drinking with them and to go to 50 Shades of Grey with them. And some of them did. See, you guys sat out there looking at me like you're real pious. I don't buy pious at all. I got a question. How can you hate God's people and love people? It's just a weird phenomenon. Maybe they're unsaved. The religious unsaved are the worst. Next, maybe they're arrogant believers. There's a level of arrogance that goes down this road. Undoubtedly, if they're a true believer, they're one of those I'm the only one believers. You know what I'm talking about. I'm the only one doing right and holding the faith. And oh boy, everybody else is bad. Then there's this. Believers, and I'm going to guess they are, using us for a... I did not bring it up. I do it in class on a regular basis. Everybody look up here. What's that called? No, you're missing the point. That's a red herring. What have I done? I've just caused you to look away from the real issue. By the way, there are people that have a lot of problems. Mike Hall, you received a letter in 1998. I didn't receive it on Saturday. Tony Cardenas called me. A person challenged what we were doing with money, which is your right, by the way. The office is open. The files are open. You can find out anything you want. And by the way, there's no ability to lie if you know what you're looking for. So when I got the letter, Tony talked to me. I've only known who gives two people in my history. I know generically that all deacons give. Generically, I asked Bambi, does it look like they tithe? Are you listening? I called her and I said, does this person give? Not one thin dime. That was called a what? Look up here. I think some people go after me to keep the attention off of their own sin and stupidity. And when I say me, I don't mean me. It's generically me. It's the church. It's truth. It's righteousness. You say, do we have a problem? Folks, I am not dumb. I hear chatter. Sometimes I'm just thinking, look at me. Why are you always fighting Christians? When's the last time you actually witnessed to an unsaved person? Maybe you should ask that question. But I want to say this. If you got a problem with number one, I'm the only one, you're going to have a problem with number two. Because then you're going to be fighting the wrong people. The wrong people are going to be your enemies. Not that people have to be your enemies. It's not individuals. It's that lifestyle, that behavior. Nick's in your notes. I'll continue. Some of you are rather nervous tonight, which is good. Number three. Let's look at the verse 9 and 10, and then we'll come back to the point. This is obvious, friends. And after him was Eleazar, the son of Dodo the Ahite, one of the three men with David, when they defied the Philistines that were gathered together to battle, and the men of Israel were gone away. He arose. He didn't go after the people that had gone away. He smote the Philistines until his hand was weary and his hand clave unto the sword, and the Lord wrought a great victory. I did not include that last phrase in any of the points. It's obviously a central point and a beautiful point, but obviously he fought until he was weary and beyond. I'm going to read some things and I'll be done with this point, but I think it's important that we grasp a hold of some of this. Friends, the ministry is weary. Emily, you're a sweet second grade teacher. What's your worst months of the year? Starts in September and goes the whole nine. Which ones? May is pretty much intolerable. October, November, somewhere in there, the kids, it's no longer fun. Do you know this? By the way, anytime you understand the ropes, then you understand sometimes you just got to buckle in. Friends, I love it when things are just moving forward. And about the time I get this ship moving forward, something stupid happens. And then I get a lot of this. And I can't fix all of that because the people that are, the one thing they will never do is ask me any questions, of course, because they know. But I want to say this beyond me. It's not about me. Do you realize you're going to work sometimes and just work and work and work? I don't have to work with my hands in that way. I do lift weights. I do a lot of weird stuff. But sometimes I'll be upstairs working, writing, thinking, writing for a course that I'm going to teach someplace. And I don't know about you. I'm a focus person. Are you that? I'll get out of my chair. I can walk into the bathroom, go to the bathroom, come back, and sit down without ever straightening up. You say you're weird. I'm just honed in. Can I say this? Welcome to the club. Everybody has to do it. There's bad nights. There's bad times. Emily, if I could erase May, I would love to. I know what's coming. That's the problem. Frankly, it's already come for me. It's all half of it Sparky's fault. She takes kids to competition, so my class is half empty. And by the time that's over, it's a senior trip, it's half empty again. And by the time that's over, the play, and it's half empty again. And by that time, the kids don't want to listen to anything. So I got 2 months that I get it. Thank you very much, Sparky. I'm blaming it all on you. It's not your fault, though. By the way, friend, welcome to reality. Buckle down. Well, number four. Eleazar fought the battle, but shared the spoils. Oh, my goodness. 23:9 says, and after him was Eleazar, the son of Dodo, the Ahohite, one of the three mighty men with David, when they defied the Philistines that were gathered together to battle, and the men of Israel were gone away. He arose and smote the Philistines until his hand was weary, and his hand clave unto the sword. And the Lord wrought a great victory that day, and the people returned. By the way, the people hadn't done one thing. Hello? But he shared the spoils. They only came back to get the booty, to get the treasures, to get the money, to get the stuff in a simple way. Now, friends, this is everybody. Some people are terrible. Do you all know what it means to be territorial? Dodo, my old buddy Eleazar, was not territorial. You get some people, you don't go into their space ever and do anything. You're going to have a war. Why we're this way? My guess, all four of these get connected. You say, are you territorial? Yes, terribly. That's the reason Sparky's going to talk to me in a couple minutes. You say, what else do you have to say? Are you ready? I'm finished. Eleazar, the son of Dodo, was no Dodo. I'm going to ask you a question. By the way, if you don't get Dodo, that means a dumb bird, okay? Look at me. Are you? Let's pray, please. Father, thank you for this time. These seem to be obvious things. And what a great example. It's a warning, but it's a warning too, because we can get fixated on fighting the wrong people. Help us. Thank you for the many, many people, especially in this room tonight, that are serving in ways that I don't even know that are happening. I'm thankful for that, and I appreciate that, and I honor that. And I never try to take that honor for myself. I appreciate the people that take their role, their part, and serve. May we have a host more of them. May we have none that hate us and love God's enemies. Very strange thing. This we ask in Christ's name. Amen.